Welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you're brand new with us, we're glad that you found us. Every day we're going to dive into Rick's teachings, and today we're continuing the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. Now, in this series, Rick explores how the different Hebrew names of God that are found in the Bible actually illustrate the special ways that God cares for us. His constant presence, His purpose for your life, and His preparation for a place for you in heaven. And let's get right to Rick with part one of a message called Learning to Trust God.
Now, repeatedly in Scripture, the Bible says God has promised to meet your needs, emotional needs, financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, relational needs, every need of your life. In fact, one of the Hebrew names of God in the Bible is Jehovah Jireh, which means, I am the God who provides for you. And over, God says, I will meet all your needs. One of the promises that He gives is in Philippians 4:19 that says this, my God will supply all that you need, circle that word all, from His glorious resources in Christ Jesus. Now that's a pretty blanket statement. He says, I'll meet all your needs. What does that include? Everything. Now, the problem is this. You look around, and obviously not everybody's need is met. In reality, many times our needs seem to go unmet. What's the problem here? Is God lying? Is God exaggerating the point? Is He just saying something that sounds real nice but isn't true? Why is it that sometimes my needs seem to go unmet? Well, the Bible tells us that with every promise, there is a condition. There is a premise with every promise. And one of the conditions for this promise is you have to trust Him. And the more you trust God, the more God is able to meet needs in your life. The less you trust God, the fewer needs He is able to meet in your lives. The Bible says there is a faith factor involved. Matthew 9:29, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. God says, you get to choose how much I bless your life. It's according to your faith, it will be done unto you. You get to choose how many needs I meet in your life. It's according to your faith. The more you trust me, the more needs I can meet. The less you trust me, the fewer needs I can meet. Now, the obvious question then is, how can I learn to trust God more so He can meet all of my needs? How can I learn to have greater faith? Well, faith is an interesting substance. You don't get it by sitting in a Bible study group. You don't get it by just talking about it. You don't get it by just thinking and hoping and wishing. Faith is like a muscle. And that means it develops by being used. The more you use a muscle, the stronger it gets. The more you use the little faith that you've got, the more it gets stretched. And the more it gets stretched, the more God is able to bless your life. Now, we call the circumstances that God creates to stretch our faith, we call those things trials. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:7, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. And the Bible tells us that like fire, when the heat's on, it purifies gold and silver, that God tests our heart by putting us under the heat, under those fiery trials of life. Today, I want to look at four of the most common trials. Chances are, you're in one of these tests right now. Whether you are or not, I guarantee you, over your life, you will go through these four tests over and over and over again. And when you go through them, you can know this is an opportunity for me to develop my faith so I can trust God more, so He can bless my life more. What are these tests? The first test is the pressure test. The pressure test. And the pressure test asks the question, how will I handle stress? How will I handle stress? Will I depend on myself? Or will I depend on God? Will I turn to other things or will I turn to God? Psalm 50, verse 15. Let's read this verse aloud together. God says, I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. God says, I want you to turn to me when you're in trouble, not to other things. Now, do we do that? No, of course we don't do that. We usually have God about number 9 or 10 on the list. We turn to everything else first to relieve stress before we turn to God. And so he said, I know what I'll do. I'm all tense and nervous and stressed out by my problems. I'll call a friend and complain about my problems. So then you call a friend, you talk on the phone, and you complain about all the stress in your life, and you hang up, and you're still under stress. So you say, I know what I'll do. I'll make some nachos. And so you make some nachos, and you nuke them in the microwave, and you pull them out, and you eat them all, and when you're through, your tummy's full, but you still have the same problems, and you're still stressed. So I know what I'll do. I'll go shopping. I'll go shopping. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Or if you're a guy, you say, I know what I'll do. I'll sit down and watch a game on TV, or I'll go play golf, or I'll work out, or, you know, I'll do something. We all have our own little stress relievers. And long about in ninth or tenth place comes God. God says, I want you to turn to me. When you're under stress, this is a test. Now listen, you have legitimate needs in your life that need to be met. The problem is you get in a hurry. And when God doesn't instantly meet that need, you make up your own plan. And you try to meet your own needs yourself. And we do this all the time. We short-circuit God's will, God's blessing in our lives by going for the quick fix, the cheap thrill, the instant hit, the quick relief that's temporary. It's just a little temporary fix. But we do it all the time. And we don't wait for God's will in our lives. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, My people have done two evils. They have, one, turned away from me, the spring of living water, and two, they've dug their own wells in which are broken wells that cannot hold water. Now imagine this. You're walking through the Sahara Desert for 2 days with no water and no shade. Your throat is parched. You're dying of thirst. Your tongue has grown thick. You think you're going to die if you don't get some water. And as you come up over a sand dune, after a couple days, you walk up and you see this roadside stand with a big neon sign and one of those arrows pointing down like in Reno that says, God's free, unlimited, everlasting, fulfilling, living water. But do you walk up and ask for a drink? No, you don't do that. You walk right on past it and you say to a guy standing there, can I borrow a shovel? And you start digging your own well. Because you're going to get your own water your way. Now, even worse than this is we have the audacity to, as we're digging the well, ask God to bless our well. Have you ever done that? Oh, baby, have you done that? Yes, you have. You know what? You go out and you get into some relationship you know is wrong. And then you pray, oh, God, please bless this relationship. Okay? Or you go out and you buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. And you get overextended on credit and you get deeply in debt. And then you come back and say, oh, God, please bless my finances. I have this financial need. Who got that need there? You did. You tried to turn a desire into a need. And God hadn't promised to bless your desires. You got overextended with things you didn't need, and now you're saying, oh, God, please bless my finances. We do this all the time. Abraham was promised a baby who would be a son, who would be the father of a great nation. And as Abraham got older, nothing happened. And he had no kids. His wife Sarah was infertile, so he goes, I know what, I'm going to dig my own well. I'm going to make up my own plan. I'll take matters into my own hands. He says, I'll take Sarah, my wife's handmaiden, her servant girl, and I'll have a child through her. And Hagar got pregnant, had a baby. They named him Ishmael, a little boy. He holds him up, says, God, here's the miracle boy. And God says, that's your plan. That's the well you dug. I got a baby over here. His name's Isaac, and he's coming next year. How many times do we do this? We get in a hurry, we figure out our own plan to meet our needs, and then we ask God to bless that plan. God isn't going to do it. God is not going to bless that relationship that you just tried to force on God, and God is not going to bless all those other plans that you just tried to force on Him. Some of you right now are struggling with financial pressure in your life, and the temptation is to cut corners, to be unscrupulous, stop tithing, cheat on your taxes, do an unethical business deal, you know, anything to get out of debt, you're building a well that isn't going to hold water. Some of you right now have tremendous sexual tension and pressure in your life, and you think, I'm going to explode. I've got to have a mate. And even though God has been very, very clear and says sex is only for marriage, it's very clear in Scripture about this, you will come up with every kind of rationalization you can think of. Well, we're both Christians. We love each other, etc., etc. And you're digging a well that's going to break your heart. Count on it. God is not mocked. Some of you are under enormous emotional pressure. You don't turn to God. You reach for that bottle. And you're digging a well that's not going to hold any water. It's a quick fix. It doesn't solve the problem. What's the antidote? Look at the next verse. If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. This is a test. God is going to see when you're under stress, are you going to turn to Him? Are you going to turn to other things? It's a test. Will you trust Him? The second test is the people test. And the people test, God often uses people in your life to test and stretch and develop your faith. And this test is, how will I handle disappointment? How will I handle disappointment? Now, life is often disappointing because things don't turn out the way we plan them. Careers don't turn out the way you plan them. Marriages don't turn out the way you plan them. Plans don't turn out the way you plan them. The fact is, life is disappointing a lot of times. But the most disappointing thing in life are people. Now, why do we get disappointed by people? I'll tell you why. You get disappointed by people when you expect people to meet a need in your life that only God Himself can meet. When you turn to a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or a friend, and you expect them to meet all your needs, you are setting yourself up for massive, massive disappointment. God never intended for anybody, nobody could possibly meet all your needs. And when they let you down, you go, what's wrong with you? Well, the problem was you. You put an expectation on them that they couldn't possibly fulfill. This is a test. So many of you have thought in the past, if only I could get married, then I would be fulfilled and satisfied. If only my wife or my husband would change, then all my problems would be solved. If only my children were different, like their children next door, you know, then I would be so contented. If only my parents, if I just had different parents, life would have been a whole lot grander. Let me tell you something. Your problem is not the people in your life. Your problem is your response to the people in your life. That's the problem. And people are not the problem, and guess what? They're not the answer to the problem either. The answer to your insecurity is not another person. The answer to your inferiority is not another person. The answer to your worries and your fears is not another person. The answer to your depression and despair and discouragement is not another person. The answer to your sense of failure is not another person. And the answer to your meaninglessness in life and lack of purpose and your boredom with life and your deep dissatisfaction is not another person. The answer is God. When you expect other people to be your savior, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. The Bible says this in Isaiah 2:22, you should stop trusting in people to save you because people are only human. Don't expect a person to be the answer to all your problems. It's not going to happen. And if you do that, you're just going to set yourself up. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Stop expecting anyone or anything else to be your Savior. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made Him, not other people, Him their hope and confidence. What happens if you do this? We'll look at God's promise. Isaiah 49:23b. Read it with me. anyone who trusts in me will not be disappointed. You know why you're disappointed? Because you're trusting in other things besides God. You thought, this experience will make me happy, and it didn't, so you're disappointed. And you thought, this person in my life will meet my needs, but they didn't, and so now you're disappointed. Or you think, if I could just achieve this level of success and achievement, then I'll be happy and satisfied, and it didn't make you happy and satisfied, so you're disappointed. And this event, and this person, and this thing, and this, if I just could buy this car, and then it disappointed you. Anytime you are disappointed, it is a warning light that you've trusted in something else for your happiness besides God. It's just a big red light that says, you got your values misplaced. Now, I love what Emily Kingsley says about disappointment and handling disappointment. She's talking about the disappointment of when your kids don't turn out the way you thought they ought to turn out, particularly a handicapped child. But this has far more implication than just for parents. She says, I'm often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability, to try to help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it and to imagine how it would feel. She said, it's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and you make your wonderful plans. You're going to see the Colosseum, the Sistine Chapel, the gondolas. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian, and it's all very exciting. After several months of preparation and eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags, and off you go to Italy. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." Holland, you say? What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy. But there's been a change in the flight plans, and they've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. Now, the important thing to remember is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence and famine and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks, and you must learn a whole new language, and you must meet a whole new group of people that you would never have met before. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy, and it's less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you begin to look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills. And Holland has tulips. And Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're bragging about what a wonderful time they've had there. And for the rest of your life, you'll say, yes, that's where I was supposed to go. At least that's what I had planned. And the pain of that experience will never, ever, ever go away. The loss of that dream is a very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy that very special, very lovely thing about Holland. Now, that principle applies to a lot more than just being disappointed in a child. Some of you, on your wedding day, stood at the altar and you thought you were going to Italy. Am I right? Get it? Good. And you thought, man, I am going to Italy. And today you think you went to Bangladesh. And if the truth are known, there's some massive disappointment. Oh, you hide it down, you put on the smiley face. But things haven't turned out the way that you quite intended them to be. The picture book story, fairy tale ending, happily ever after. This is a test. It's the people test. Are you going to handle disappointment by complaining and griping and crying and grieving and worrying and all that? Or are you going to accept that God knows what's best, that God has a loving plan for your life, that God loves you and knows what you need more than you do, and that He's in control, and even the disappointments in your life have a positive purpose, even whether you don't understand it, whether you understand it or not? It's a test. Are you going to trust God with the things that disappoint your life? The Bible says, anyone who trusts in me will not be disappointed.
What a special message from Pastor Rick. And now let's hear how lives are changing through Daily Hope. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Here's a testimony that was sent in from a woman named Marcia. She says, "Hi, Rick. What a blessing this radio show is. I am a survivor of the great white wave of mental illness." Well, Marcia, I understand that, and God is with you. Thanks for sharing that with me. She says, "Every day, first thing in the morning, I listen to Daily Hope. And I've texted your messages to so many people when the message of hope truly hits home for me. I praise the Lord for all your team. Don't ever stop. And I'm especially proud of what you and Kay are doing for mental illness. With love and praise, Marcia." Well, thanks for writing, Marcia. You know, one of our goals is to take the pain and the hurt we've had experienced in our own family and use it to help others. It's not a sin to be sick. Remember, your illness is not your identity. Your chemistry is not your character. God loves you. You can have a tender heart and a tortured mind at the same time. God is with you. And thank you for writing. And by the way, thanks to all the rest of you who write to me. And if you get a chance, jot me a note of what's going on in your life this week. God bless you, and we'll join you next time.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please send him an email. He loves it. To rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.